Scripture reading this evening is from 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verses 13 through 17. But we are bound to give thanks always to God for you, brethren beloved of the Lord, because God hath from the beginning chosen you to salvation through sanctification of the Spirit and belief of the truth, whereunto he called you by our gospel to the obtaining of the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, brethren, stand fast, and behold the traditions which you have been taught, whether by word or our epistle. Now our Lord Jesus Christ himself and God, even our Father, which hath loved us, and hath given us everlasting consolation and good hope through grace, comfort your hearts, and establish you in every good word and work.
Certainly appreciate those songs that were sung, a number of them especially well geared for the lesson that we want to look at tonight, the material we want to consider. And also the scripture reading, as it ties in as well. Paul, of course, is writing there to Christians in Thessalonica, encouraging them to be faithful. Basically, verse 15, he reminds them, you stand fast. It forms a question that all of us should ask ourselves from time to time. Am I standing fast? And how many other times there would be encouragements for us to continue to stand fast, to continue faithfully with God. A number of synonyms that we could use there to express the same idea that I want to think about tonight in terms of standing with God. Am I standing with God? We could ask that question as sort of we did this morning. Am I standing with God instead of standing with the world? We could form it in the sense of, am I standing God and standing with God in that I'm being faithful with Him or to Him? Am I standing with God in that I have become a New Testament Christian? Am I standing with God that I am walking with Him day by day as He is in the light, 1 John 1 and verse 7? So many different questions there. I want to think of it in maybe a slightly different sense as we're standing with God and in terms of a way that we might express it in our language. How am I standing with God? What is my relation? What is my position as I'm standing with God? A number of three different points that I would like for us to consider tonight. Am I standing with God? And the first I would ask, am I standing with God by standing behind Him? In other words, basically, are we being led by God? Am I submitting myself to Him, as Don even mentioned in the prayer? Are we humbling our will to God? In this manner, I'm standing behind Him. I am deferring to Him. I am being led by Him. Particularly in the sense, first and foremost, that I'm being led by Him, and also in the sense that I'm not trying to lead Him. I'm not trying to make my own way. Instead, as we studied even in the Beatitudes, as Jesus begins there, that we are going to humble ourselves before God in a spirit of meekness and a number of other of the Beatitudes that showed a submissive will to that of God's. All of those things would come into play here with this idea of standing behind God. I want to look at a particular instance that Matthew records for us in chapter 16. Jesus is speaking with His disciples, and He has begun warning them, of course, of some things that are to happen to Him. He has just asked the question, who do people say that I am? And Peter has given that answer, of course, that He is Jesus the Christ, the Son of the living God. Jesus has commended him for that answer, and especially in view of what the world thought of Jesus, they had many wrong ideas concerning who he was. And then from that time forth, Matthew 16, verse 21 and following, says, from that time forth, Jesus began to show to his disciples how that he must go unto Jerusalem and suffer many things of the elders and chief priests and scribes and be killed and raised again the third day. Jesus was telling them of things that had to come to pass in order to fulfill his Father's will. And we're going to see a problem in the life of the Apostle Peter where, at least for a moment, he wasn't standing in relation to where he should have been standing. Because as we continue reading, it's recorded that Peter took him and began to rebuke him by saying, "Be it far from thee, Lord. This shall not be unto thee." But he, that is Jesus, turned and said unto Peter, "Get thee behind me, Satan. Thou art an offense unto me. For thou savorest not the things that be of God, but those things that be of men." Now, I have absolutely no doubt on this occasion, as many others in the life of the Apostle Peter, that he was very well intentioned, that he had the best aspirations here, that here he is looking at Jesus, the one he trusts, the one he has confidence in, the one that he is following, and he thinks, at this point anyway, he thinks he's doing here what's right. As he looks at Jesus and says, "No, this will not happen unto you." But at this point, he fails to understand the will of God. Jesus understands these are things that have to happen in order to fulfill the will of God. These are things that have been planned. These are things that have been prophesied of and are shortly to come to pass. And when Peter stands there and says, "No, you shall not do these things," even though in a friendly manner, possible here by even this language that Peter has taken him off slightly to the side. And in that term of rebuke, it's not a brash rebuke, but a correction. "No, this isn't going to happen. Surely not. My wish, my desire, my aim is that these things not come upon you." But Jesus, knowing His Father's will, says, "Get thee behind me, Satan." Actually, maybe would be better translated, "Get thee behind me, adversary." One who stands opposed to my will. One who has set themselves against me. Jesus says, "This is what's going to happen." Peter says, "It's not going to happen. I've fallen out of place of following God and His will, and I'm standing in opposition to it." And so you have become an adversary, and in your mind at this point, you are savoring the things of men rather than the things of God. You're putting your own emotions, your own feelings into this situation above what the will of God is. What should have been your reaction? What should be your position before God? Do you stand behind Him and follow His will? That's what Jesus is going to say in the very next verse. As He said unto His disciples, "If any man will come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me." Don't try to be, in essence, like Peter was on this occasion, standing against the will of God. Rather, you follow the will of God. We could ask ourselves the same question. Am I going to take up my cross and follow after Him? Am I going to try to go my own way? Am I going to try to stand in opposition to the will of God? Of course, we know Peter even better than this. This isn't all that's written of him. This is the same man that not that much further into the future will boldly stand with the other apostles, as recorded in Acts chapter 5 and verse 29, and say we must obey God rather than man. Here he was willing to stand up and say, "No, we're going to submit ourselves to the will of God." It might be more convenient, it might be easier, it might at times even seem more pleasing in our own eyes to do that which we would like to do or men would have us to do. But we are going to follow God. It's the same disciple who would speak of being obedient children in 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 14. It's the same one who would say in the very next verse, 1 Peter 1 and verse 15, that we are to be holy as He who hath called us is holy. We're to be following His example, submitting unto His will. It's the same one who says, 1 Peter chapter 4 and verse 2, that we are to be following the will of God. He understood better than ever, as he grew in his life, that we are to be standing behind God. We are to humble ourselves before Him. We are to become His servants. We are to follow Him and His will. Same thing that Paul would speak of in the book of Romans. Here as he writes and he tells us, neither yield yourselves as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin, but yield yourselves unto God, as those that are alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness unto God. Are you going to follow sin? Are you going to follow the world? Are you going to follow God in the things that are right and the things that are good? It goes back to the choices we spoke of this morning. What are we going to value the most, God or the world? He continues and he says in verse 16, "Know ye not that to whom ye yield yourselves servants to obey, his servants ye are to whom ye obey, whether of sin unto death or of obedience unto righteousness." You're going to be a servant of somebody. Who is it going to be? Are you going to stand behind the world and follow their lead? Or are you going to stand behind God and follow His lead? Indeed, he would continue there in verse 17 of Romans 6, "But God be thanked that ye were the servants of sin, but you have obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine which was delivered unto you." You've heard the gospel, you've believed it, you've put it into action in your life, you've followed God's will. And so he says in verse 22, "Now being made free from sin and become the servants to God, you have your fruit unto holiness and the end everlasting life." You've become the servants of God. That's this idea of standing behind Him. So many other verses that we could mention along this same line. "And whatsoever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by Him." Colossians 3 and verse 17. "Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path." Psalm 119, 105. That He's going to guide, that He's going to direct. "Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven." Matthew 7 and verse 21. "That we're to walk in the light as he is in the light." 1 John 1 and verse 7. "We're to become imitators of God." Ephesians 5 and verse 1. "As children of his." Are we going to stand behind God? This was the attitude the Proverbs writer expressed in chapter 3, verse 5 through 7. And he says, "Trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lead not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. Be not wise in thine own eyes. Fear the Lord and depart from evil." It's this idea, I'm going to stand behind God. I'm going to walk where he walks. I'm not going to go where he won't go. I'm going to be a follower of him. Are we standing behind God in that manner? Let me also suggest to you there's another way that we can stand with God, and that is that we can stand beside God. By this I mean in the sense that we would stand with Him as we might tell a friend, "I'm right beside you. I'm going to stand with you through thick and thin. I'm not going to be ashamed of you. I'm going to be right here with you." Again, we could look at the life of Peter as an example of someone that had this attitude, but at times struggled with it. We, of course, remember as well when these things begin to be fulfilled, Jesus continues to warn His disciples of things that are to happen. And in Matthew chapter 26, verse 31 and following, Jesus said to His disciples, "And ye shall all be offended because of me this night. For it is written, I will smite the shepherd, and the sheep of the flock shall be scattered abroad. But after I am risen again, I will go before you unto Galilee." You aren't going to stand with me. You aren't going to be by my side when these things begin to unfold. And of course, we know the character of Peter. Very bold, very outspoken, but at times it seems his mouth may have at times gotten ahead of where his faith was, where his heart was, even as ours can as well from time to time. For Peter would be quick to speak up. And he answered and said unto Jesus, "Though all men shall be offended because of thee, yet will I never be offended." Jesus saith unto him, "Verily I say unto thee, that this night, before the cock crow, thou shalt deny me thrice." Peter said unto him, Though I should die with thee, yet will I not deny thee. Likewise said all of the disciples. They had the right attitude. We're going to stand with you. We're going to be right there with you all along. And yet, of course, we know by the time that night ended that verse 56 of that same chapter said that all of His disciples forsook Him and fled. And then especially of Peter in verse 69 through 75, we find the fulfillment of what Jesus said. Not only did he flee when these things started to come about, but later he would deny Jesus Christ three times adamantly. I don't know the man. Are we going to stand with Jesus? But yet, don't you know that's also the same Peter? The same Peter that stands up in Acts chapter 2 is recorded for us of that day of Pentecost. And he and the other disciples would stand up and proclaim the gospel of Jesus Christ. It's Peter that we'll see going forth to the household of Cornelius in Acts chapter 10 and Acts chapter 11. He's now willing to stand up boldly for Christ, that he's willing to stand with him through thick and through thin, that we must obey God rather than men, Acts chapter 5 and verse 29. He learned more about standing beside God, I'm sure, from that event than many of the other events of his life. And we have to ask ourselves, where will we stand? Will we stand beside Him or not? We may have times of weakness, even as Jesus' own disciples will, but overall, are we going to be there with Him through the thick and through the thin? Jesus, as He spoke of that parable of the sower, He spoke of the different places where that seed would fall. He warned of one particular group, that's the seed that fell on the stony ground. He would say the seed that fell into the stony places is the same that heareth the word, and anon with joy receiveth it quickly. He receives it. Yet he hath not root in himself, but endureth for a little while. For when tribulation or persecution ariseth because of the word, by and by he is offended. Jesus warned, there are people that are going to become Christians even. There are people that are going to listen to the Word, receive the Word. They're going to follow the Word. Everything looks like it's starting off great, but yet some would fall away rather than stand beside God. Jesus Himself says of such events, He says, Whosoever therefore shall confess Me before men, him will I also confess before My Father which is in heaven. But whosoever shall deny Me before men, him will I also deny before My Father, which is in heaven, Matthew 10, verse 32 and 33. Are you going to stand with God? Jesus says, as you're willing to stand with Me, as you go forth into the world, I'll stand with you before My Father's throne. But if you are ashamed of Me, if you refuse to stand with Me as you go through life, I will be ashamed of you. I won't stand with you before My Father's throne. So what are we going to do? It's not always going to be easy to stand with Christ, to stand with God. At times there's going to be persecution. There's going to be opposition. That's what Jesus was warning of in Matthew 13. There are going to be some that were willing to follow God in so long as it was easy enough. But when it became easy, when there arose persecution, these are those, maybe you could call them fair-weather friends. They're there, they're right beside you as long as things are going well. But when it got difficult, they were nowhere to be found. Even in those difficult times, are we going to stand with God? Are we going to have the attitude that Paul did? For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. For it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth. To the Jew first, and also to the Greek, Romans 1 and verse 16. Would we be willing to stand if we had written unto us the same letter that was written unto Smyrna? Fear none of those things that you shall suffer. Behold, the devil shall cast some of you into prison, that you may be tried. And you shall have tribulation 10 days. Be thou faithful unto death, and I'll give thee a crown of life. If Jesus wrote us a letter, if God spoke to us and said, you're going to go through tribulation, You're going to go through persecution. You're going to be imprisoned. You're going to be mocked. You're going to be ridiculed. Some of you are going to be put to death. Would it then be easy to stand by His side? Even if it wasn't easy, would we continue to do so? He says, you be faithful even unto death, and I will give thee the crown of life. Would we have the same confidence of Paul? We spoke of this morning out of 2 Corinthians chapter 4 some of the difficulties and problems that Paul went through in life. And he says, but yet I still continue preaching the gospel. I'm going to keep on doing it. He would say in Romans 8 and verse 18, I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory that should be revealed in us. Romans 8 and verse 18. We're going to have the same mindset. I'll stand beside God and endure the afflictions that I might go through in life because I know the eternal reward, the far better life that I'm looking forward to. We have the confidence that I can look back on my life and say, I'm now ready to be offered and the time of my departure is at hand. I fought a good fight. I finished my course. I have kept the faith. Was it always easy? Absolutely not. You look at the trials and the persecutions that Paul endured throughout his life. And yet he said, I kept the faith. I continued to stand by God. Henceforth, there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the faithful judge, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day, and not to me only, but unto all them that love His appearing, 2 Timothy 4, verse 6 through 8. Will we be able to say, as Paul exhorted to Timothy, therefore we both labor and suffer reproach, because we trust in the living God, who is the Savior of all men, especially of those that believe, 1 Timothy 4 and verse 10. Are we going to say, I will stand with God? Even though there is labor, even though there is reproach that we will endure, I trust God. And I'm going to continue standing by Him. I'm going to continue laboring for Him, knowing that my labor is not in vain in the Lord, 1 Corinthians 15 and verse 58. Am I going to stand up for God, defend Him and His Word? Am I going to stay by His side? If I do that, then yes, indeed, I'm standing beside God. One other position that we might take with God, and indeed all of these three, interesting thing is we can do them all at the same time. I can stand behind God and that I'm led by Him. I can stand beside God and that I'm standing up for Him and I'm sticking with Him. But then also at the very same time, I can stand before God. That's certainly not to contradict our first statement that we're to stand behind God. But there's a sense in which we must stand before God. In the sense that I'll stand up for Him. I'll stand up for righteousness. This thought comes from Ezekiel chapter 22 and verse 30. As God said, I sought for a man among them that should make up the hedge, that should stand in the gap before me for the land, that I should not destroy it, but I found none. I searched for a man that would stand in the gap before me, but I couldn't find him in all of the land. Surely Ezekiel was there as a prophet of God. There were possibly others. But as he searched through that land, he said, I found no one. No one that was willing to plead with the people. I sent forth my prophets time and again. I begged with people. I pleaded with them. I sent them my word. They wouldn't listen. Ezekiel was preaching to a wicked generation. One that no longer feared and respected God. One that no longer had respect for righteousness. Their defense was crumbling. Their hedge was breaking down. The defenses of the land were breaking down. Because morally, this was a nation that was crumbling. And they were opening themselves up to destruction and the wrath of God. And so as their walls, such as it were in a spiritual sense, in a moral sense, as their walls were crumbling, I couldn't find a man to stand in the gap. I couldn't find a man that would stand there in the breach before me and plead with the people to turn back to God. The psalmist says years before Moses would be such a man. In Psalm 106 and verse 23, therefore he said that he would not destroy them. Had not Moses, his chosen, stood before him in the breach to turn away his wrath, lest he should destroy them. Moses pleaded for the people. Moses continued to try to lead the people in that which was right and that which is good. And yet now you come to this time of Ezekiel and God says, I couldn't find a man. I couldn't find a man to make up that hedge. I couldn't find a man to fill that gap, to fill that void, to try to help build them back up again. He could not be found. Will we heed the admonition of Jude? Earnestly contend for the faith, Jude 3. Will we do as Paul exhorted unto Timothy, to preach the word and be instant in season and out of season, to reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine, 2 Timothy 4 and verse 2. Will we be an instrument that will go forth before God and plead with the people for righteousness? Paul says unto Timothy, you preach the word because there's coming a time in which people will be turned unto fables. They will no longer want to hear the truth of God's word. Are we going to be a people that will go forth even into a wicked generation in which we live and plead with them to turn to God, to do His will? This is the person that, yes, will stand behind God in the sense that I take my orders from God, that I am following Him. But it's also the sense of one that will boldly go forth as a messenger, as a soldier, as a servant of God to carry out the commands of a commander. I think of a battle scene in which the troops are gathered. They gather around their commander to receive their orders. They are standing behind that commander. They are listening to His word. But when the commander says go, they're ready to go. They go, they take their place on the battle lines, and they fulfill that which has been given unto them. And Paul asks the question, for now, do I persuade men or God? Or do I seek to please men? For if I yet pleased men, I should not be the servant of Christ. I want to be a faithful servant. I want to do His will. It's not my aim to please men. I want to go forth and do the work of God that I might please Him. As Paul would write unto Timothy, therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Jesus Christ. And the things that you have heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men. You shall be able to teach others also. Thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. No man that warreth entangleth himself in the affairs of this life, that he may please him who hath chosen him to be a soldier. You've been chosen to be a soldier of Jesus Christ, a soldier of God. You've been sent forth as a messenger, as His people. You've been given a charge to take the gospel into all the world. You've been given a charge as to how we're to live, how we're to act, the kind of example that we're to set forth before the world. Are we going to go forth and fulfill that charge? Are we going to go forth before God and do His will? Paul also wrote to the Christians at Ephesus, and he spoke of being a soldier as he spoke of the Christian armor. In Ephesians chapter 6, and he said in verse 10 and verse 11, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. You prepare yourself for battle. You prepare yourself to go out before the commander-in-chief. You're going to take unto you this Christian armor, the armor of God. He has provided all things that we need, but He expects us to go. He expects us to use it. He expects us to take our marching orders, if you will, and go forth and implement them, put them into action. And after Paul discusses that armor, we drop down to verse 18 through verse 20. And he says, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all the saints and for me, that utterance may be given unto me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in bonds, that therein I may speak boldly as I ought to speak. Paul is encouraging them, you go forth as soldiers, as you should, prepared for the battle that is before you. You go forth ready for the fight. And you pray for all of the saints, but as he turns and he asks for prayers, even for himself, notice the effect, or notice the prayer that he's asking them to utter. For ease? For comfort? No, he says, you pray that I'll go forth boldly and do that which I should do. You pray that I may go forth and speak as I ought to speak. You pray that I go forth into the world holding up the gospel of Christ and proclaiming it to the world. That's what it's going to take for us to stand in the gap. That's what it's going to take for us to stand before God. Will we stand before God as one doing His will, His work that He set out for us, as one that is seeking to please Him and to turn others to Him as well? May we every day stand with God. Stand behind Him in that we are submitting to His will. Stand beside Him in that we are defending Him and His Word. We are going to stick with Him through thick and through thin. And that you stand before Him in that we are accomplishing His will. That we are a mouthpiece for His Word. That we are taking the gospel into the world. And I want to stand with God in all of these ways because I know there's coming a time in which indeed there's another sense in which I'll stand before God. I'll stand before God in that day of judgment. As Paul warns us and speaks to us in 2 Corinthians 5 and verse 10, and he says, "For all must appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone may receive the things done in his body according to that he hath done, whether it be good or whether it be bad." There's coming a time which I'm going to stand before God. Am I going to be ready for that day? If I'm standing with God in life, submitting to His will, walking with Him, doing His will, then I'll be ready to stand before Him in the day of judgment. But it's then and only then that I'll be ready to stand on that day. So am I standing with God? Have I yet decided to become a New Testament Christian? That through faith, I'm going to believe His Word. I'm going to put it into action by repenting of my sins and confessing Christ, being baptized for the remission of my sins. That as a Christian then, as a child of His, that I'm going to continue walking with Him every day of my life. If I stumble, if I fall, I get back up, ask for forgiveness, and we can continue on with Him. Continue walking with God, that one day I will live with Him in eternity forever. Are you ready for that time? And if so, let us also go forth and warn others of that time that is to come. Are you subject to that invitation tonight to become a New Testament Christian, to be restored to a faithful relationship with God or some other need that you might have? Then let it be known, even as together we stand and as we sing.